requested by Dean. A little bit of ELO, Last Train to London. Love ELO. And I'm always partial to playing a bit of ELO. Keep your requests coming and we'll play your pump-up songs back from the ad break. 0433 98 11 16. Tom in Seaford. Welcome to you, Tom.
Oh, good on you, Dwayne. Loving the show. Look, just a different point of view on it. I think I hear what John says, and everyone's entitled to opinion, of course, but I reckon something's better than nothing. I mean, it's something to look forward to, and if we get more games on per week, and we'll see a different, we'll see a more attacking side of footy. That clearly was evident in round one. It's far from preferable, but gee whiz, given the crisis and trying to uplift people's spirits and, as I said, give them something worth, interested in and look forward to, I think we go with it. And if we can possibly, I think we'll be incredibly lucky to get it, given the horror of what's going on. But let's just get behind it and give it a best shot. It'll be one out of the box. We never want to see this nightmare again. So let's just embrace what we can get, and far better than nothing. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with that completely. But there are a lot of people out there that believe sport is a luxury and it's a waste of everyone's time. We don't need it. And I can understand that view. But those of us that live in it, that breathe it, that have it in our blood, we need it for our, sense of well-being almost. And I've talked about that a bit. It either is in your blood or it's not, sport. And I reckon if cricket's in your blood, you'll watch cricket with no crowd. If racing's in your blood, you'd watch your Melbourne Cup with no crowd. And footy's in my blood, I'd watch footy with no crowd. But I understand those people who won't. Peter in Warrnambool, welcome to you, Peter.
Yeah, g'day, Dwayne. How you going?
Good, thanks.
That's the way. Look, I just want to reiterate the last guy. I'll certainly watch it. I mean, that guy's entitled to his opinion that he's not going to watch it. But look, I found that first round, I had less interest in the games that I didn't have a team I was barracking for, and that may have been crowd related. But certainly, I'm a Geelong supporter, and watching that game, I was fully invested, and I can't wait for it to come back.
Thanks for your call, Peter, and stay safe down there in Warrnambool. Thanks a lot for your time.
Cheers, mate.
Peter in Warrnambool, 1300 736 736. Yeah, it's getting quite a bit of response on the speckle text as well. Footy on the radio without crowds is still pretty good. Thanks for that. Watched a match on WWE with no crowd on the weekend. Changed the atmosphere greatly and for the worst. Yeah, WWE. Okay, it's sport, but sport of a different kind. So I'm not sure that equates, but Dwayne, are people who are concerned about no crowd serious? When the time comes, every one of them will be watching. Getting crowds back will be the icing, not the cake. Let's play, Peter, in Taylor's Lakes. 1300 736 736 is the number if you'd like to jump on the line. Another one, obviously. I've obviously missed something. When did the government give the go-ahead for football to resume? Peter Vlandis said earlier, and I played the grab, saying that the government has told Rugby League they can play tomorrow if they want to. So that was Peter Vlandis saying that, but they are aiming at the 1st of June. Brett Phillips has been good enough to join me from the First Serve, 6 p.m. tonight on SEN, thanks to Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking to buy, rent, sell, or have your investment property managed, head to www.topagents.com.au. Welcome to you, Brett. Great to have you on.
Thank you, Dwayne.
What is on the program tonight? 2020... is slipping away for tennis fans the way it's looking, especially with so many tournaments overseas in places that aren't really enjoying the flattening of the curve like we are here.
Yeah, it's a tough one. A lot of discussions going on behind closed doors. I can tell you all the seven stakeholders of tennis. It could be a really defining year for tennis to actually sort out their governance and getting everyone united, Dwayne. And as I think, big John Isner was quoted across the weekend, he said, what's always sort of hampered us to try to change things is the fact we're always playing and always so busy. And now that we have a lot more time on our hands to assess things, because there's talk about, a player union getting together, and tennis might have, like a lot of sports, that opportunity to really reset and look at how the game should look going forward. But there are obviously a lot of issues to sort out in between all that. So Grothy and I will continue to go through all that tonight. We're going to talk to a couple of the lower-ranked Australian players who, if I reeled off both their names, the average SEN listener probably wouldn't know who they are. And we've got, 63 Aussie men, Dwayne, who have an ATP ranking. We have 41 Aussie women who have a WTA ranking. And obviously they're all very different in their levels and what they've earned out of the game and where they are in their journey from the young to the veterans in, you know, the Sam Stosa and the like. So we're going to get their perspective because it's going to be really tough and tennis might lose some of these younger players if they aren't able to play. In fact, I was having a really good discussion, Dwayne, with someone today about the US college system with tennis, and they're actually there's a lot of Aussies who are over in the college system, and they're still doing their studies online. But in order to get their full scholarship, they're actually going to give the players another year of tennis so they don't lose any ground in that regard. So that might open the door up for more Aussies, and there's a lot of them that do it, but maybe a lot more to go down the college pathway as a bit of a safeguard. So they get an education and, you know, they can forge their tennis career that way. And they come into the system a little bit later, a little bit more mature, rather than throwing all the eggs in one basket, trying to be a pro at, you know, 17, 18, 19, when you're really struggling to earn a dollar. So, yeah, there's a fair bit of water to go under the bridge, but we'll get an insight from a couple of young Aussies tonight how tough that is at the lower end.
And is tennis one of those sports that will end up resuming when it resumes without crowd as well?
Well, it's an interesting scenario. I know that Tennis Australia is working through, Dwayne. They've obviously got a few scenarios on the table as an example. It doesn't happen at all, the Aussie Open. It's without spectators, or they fly the players in and quarantine them for 14 days. So they're trying to get ahead. It's a possibility. I just think at the moment, if we read the tea leaves, I mean, the US Open is the next one in the firing line. If we look what's happening in New York and their second court, Louis Armstrong, which has been used as a makeshift hospital at the moment. We know the pandemic in that Queens area. I was talking to a good colleague, a friend that I've met at the US Open, I've worked alongside the last couple of years, who lives in the heart of all this. And she said that, you know, in her eyes, 99% sure that the US Open won't go ahead this year. And then there's the debate how close it is to the French Open. I think the French Open have come to the realisation, Dwayne, that they totally stuffed things up, to be totally honest, in going rogue. And there's, this is the dilemma, though. The US Open stand to lose around $400 million and the French Open stand to lose around $300 million if those two tournaments don't go ahead. And they're the cash cows that obviously fund the game in those respective countries. Whereas Wimbledon, credit to them, they took out insurance to cover something like this, some sort of pandemic, and they've got enough reserves there that they can get away with not staging it this year. So that's not quite the luxury that the French and the US Open have.
Yeah, what about the foresight of that? Brett, great to hear you, and we'll hear you again tonight. Thanks a lot for your time.
Pleasure. Thanks, Wayne.
Brett Phillips, the first serve tonight at 6 on SEN, thanks to Top Agents Real Estate, servicing all of Melbourne. If you're looking to buy, rent, sell, or have your investment property managed, head to www.topagents.com.au. Peter Fitzsimons is going to join me after a little break for news, just on the way to the news. Still on this thought of whether you'll watch or not if there's no crowds. If my team's playing that I'm watching, might not watch other teams. My husband will watch them all. And there is a few that would watch them all, I reckon. I'm with you. If the fan won't watch football because there's no crowd, then they're not a true hardcore fan. Cameron from Heatherton. I'd watch two ants crawl up a wall at the moment. Footy without crowds is better than no footy. I watched seven games round one. Won't stop me watching. So there's quite a few coming through on that side of the coin as well. Peter Fitzsimons, straight after some news and more of your calls. 1300 736 736.